One penny saved for centuries has earned in England 409 million pennies, or $409,000. The Spink Auction House in London last week sold a gold coin for that much money to this man, Alan Davison of Cold Spring, Minnesota. Welcome, Mr. Davison.
Hello.
Does your wife know you spent that much money for a coin?
Well, my wife supported me. Back in our college days, when I first started buying coins on student loan funds, she made me sign an agreement that I wouldn't spend more than $50 a month. But okay. Now she's an enthusiast herself.
Wow.
Do you have it there with you in Minnesota?
Actually, I don't. I have to wait for an export license. And so it's still sitting in London.
But you went there and were there in the auction house, and that's how you got it.
Yes, I was.
Did you get to touch it?
Oh, yes. It's a marvelous experience.
What is it like to hold something like that in your hand and imagine? What year do you think it was made?
Well, probably around 800 AD or a bit after. It's breathtaking. But there's a lot in coins and numismatics that's breathtaking. The fascinating thing about this particular hobby is that you're in such immediate touch with other eras. And this piece is particularly special because of its significance in terms of British numismatic history, the development of London as an economic center, and finally, and not least in any respect, its sheer beauty.
Size of a quarter or a dime or a nickel, what?
It's more the size of a nickel, but it's thin.
Where was the coin found and when?
Well, the coin was found two and a half years ago by a metal detectorist in an area not far removed from present-day London. I don't know the exact location, though it has been pinpointed for the sake of their research. But the coin was minted in an area that was known then as the Wick of London, which is sort of between Westminster and Oxford Street. That's where, if anybody's familiar with London right now, that's the area where London trade was centered in that era.
So somebody with a metal detector finds the coin, and it becomes available on the market, and you and your colleagues around the world, cohorts, I should say, around the world, you're probably not colleagues, you're competitors, try to figure out how much it's worth. And how did the bidding go? Were you expecting to pay $409,000?
I wasn't expecting to be able to buy it, to be honest with you. I wouldn't say we're competitors. We really are kind of colleagues, even though we compete a bit. But we all know each other well and have similar enthusiasms. The bidding continued in the room by three people representing collectors, and I was the only principal in the room still bidding when the magic number of 200 hit. And I sort of sat there in a daze after it was all over, amazed that after all these years I was actually handling something like this.
200,000 pounds, or about 409,000.
Right.
Dollars. Now, what happens? You'll get it here in the U.S. and put it in, I'm just guessing, a safe deposit box there in Collegeville, and put it in a safe deposit box someplace, and then what happens?
I'm not entirely sure what happens. My honest expectation is that the British Museum or the Fitzwilliam Museum at Oxford is going to take a look at this and decide it's too important to let it go and simply decide to buy it rather than issue an export license. And from my point of view, that would be just fine. I think a coin of this significance needs to be kept somewhere where people can see it and experience it. If it does come to me, I've already got people I know would be happy to have an opportunity to own it themselves.
Alan Davison trades rare medieval coins.